Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I am excited that you have joined me on today, and we are here for another glorious time in the Lord. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be greatly, greatly blessed. I have a wonderful lesson that I'm going to share with you on today, and it is called Battle for Holiness. I tell you, the Lord has been putting it greatly upon my heart about holiness, that let us remain and maintain the holiness of God. Amen. Our focus is going to be on today around this wonderful subject is about how the children of God is engaged in a spiritual warfare. There are enemies and battles and casualty, and there are also victories which we each of us can have. Now, let's look at the various scriptures that we're going to look at on today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 to 13, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 through 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4. And we're going to talk about quite a bit on today about a picture of the war of the enemy's picture. We're going to look at also the warfare described, and we're going to look at also the weapon presented and the soldiers presented. And then we're going to also look at a good wage of warfare, enduring hardness, and then ultimately the victory that is promised. So let's take a look at this lesson today. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses number 4. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 18 through 19 state. And this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. 2 Timothy 2, verses 10 through 4, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Let's take a look at this lesson, the battle for holiness. Now, the battle for holiness is a part of the war against evil. Evil is not the only enemy we face, and the devil is not the only enemy that we face. In fact, it is not the primary enemy spoken of by Apostle Paul. The three major enemies of the believers are the devil, the world, and the flesh. Our biggest, most lingering problem is the flesh. We will consider each enemy. They are all able to destroy the unworthy. Now, the child of God is not powerless, though. We have a mighty weapon with which we to fight with. And then we find that over in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. It said, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the greatest access of any army is its soldier. As a soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ, we have the responsibility to wage a good warfare, endure hardness, and to stay true to God. For the weapon, we have the word of God. We have prayer. We have self-denial and even fellowship. Now, the early church enjoyed and found strength in the apostle doctrine, fellowshipping, breaking of bread, and prayer. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4. Now, let me stop for just a moment because I want to reiterate again the areas of the weapons that we have against the enemy, because we have the word of God. We have number 2, prayer. Then we have self-denial, which is sometimes fasting or stepping away from and things. And we have also fellowship. So when you're called to fellowship, that is another form of warfare against the enemy. So recognize the tools that God has given you as the child of God: fellowship, prayer, self-denial, and the word. Now let's look at the ultimate outcome is not in question. The church will triumph. The name of Jesus will be exalted. The victory of the church will be fulfilled and final. We will not need to await the final triumph in heaven, however, to have victory now. We can walk in victory as believers while still on earth. We can be holy, victorious people if we will identify the enemy, use our weapon, and rely on the captain of our salvation to lead us to victory in this life and the life that is to come. Now, let's look at the warfare that is described. One of the greatest danger is to mistake the kind of battle we are to be engaged in. It would be disastrous for a military strategist to assume the enemy was fighting with conventional weapon only to discover that they were attacking with chemical weapon. It would be also a tragic to assume that the enemy was attacking from the north when they were coming from the south. The important part of this particular lesson is to accurately assess the enemies of our souls. We must also inventory our weapons. We can then plan to win a great battle. We will consider the kind of battle we must wage in order to be overcomer. It is not wise to be unrealistic concerning the strength or the weaknesses of our enemies. We will discover that we have a great weapon at our disposal and that our captain has never lost a battle. Now, let's look at the enemy's picture. Our enemy falls into 3 categories: the flesh, the devil, and the world. We hear the most about the devil and least about the flesh. The devil is pictured as a villain in many stories and even in some Christian testimony. Catchy phrases attribute to Satan's power that he does not have. For instance, it has been said, "The devil made me do it." The devil gets credit for a lot that is not his doing. He may be pleased with it, but he did not do it. We can have victory over each of our enemies as believers. We must not assume that the battle for holiness is a futile one. Every child of God can have a new sense of victory as they study the word of God. Now let's take a look at these 3 areas of the battle. Number 1, let's take a look at the flesh. The flesh is our greatest potential enemy. It is more dangerous than the world or the enemy, the devil himself. It is so dangerous because it does not look worldly or devilish. It looks just like us and likes what we like, and it goes where we go. It has the same interests that we do, and we have a harder time telling it no than we do the world or Satan. Now, the epistles have far more to say about the flesh than either of our other enemies. We are imperious to the assaults of the devil or the world, if the flesh is under control, we will be defeated only through yielding to its weaknesses. And so now what we have to do is, first of all, begin to do an assessment personally and look at your own weaknesses and begin to make them become strengths, or fortify them and strengthen those areas of weaknesses in your life so that they can be stronger, or recognize them and when you're operating in them or what's pulling you in that direction, so that you have victory over those areas. Now let's look at what James chapter 1, verse 13 and 16 said. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when the lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, let's take a look at the next area of the enemy of our own soul, and that's the devil. Now, many have made the mistake of assuming that Satan is just as powerful for evil as God is for good. They say that just as the evil is the opposite of good, the devil is the opposite of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this idea is definitely false. Jesus Christ is God, but the devil is only a fallen angel. So that's where you make the difference. God is God, and the devil, Satan, is only a fallen angel. So let's recognize and put him in his place, that he is a fallen angel, and he doesn't have, only power he has is that which has been given unto him by God. Bottom line. Now, let's see. It is assumed by some that the devil knows everything they do. This is false, too. Satan is neither omnipresent nor omniscient, omnipotent, neither is he. He is a created being who sinned and lost his standing with God. He cannot indwell a believer, nor can he intimidate one who is walking in the Spirit. Now, that's very key. Walk in the Spirit. Well, you may say, well, Dr. Horn, how do I walk by in the Spirit? Amen. First of all, you must have the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues, that's the Spirit of the Lord give utterance. And if you have it, all you have to begin to do is yield. And what I mean yield by that is just to stop and say, God, I'm walking in the Spirit. Become conscious of walking in the Spirit. Amen. As opposed to just walking in your life. Now we just are walking in the world, or walking to the store, or walking in the house. Now what I'm going to do in every area of my life, I'm going to make a conscious decision to walk in the Spirit of God that dwelleth within me. And that's your place of victory, is to begin to say to yourself and embrace and welcome the Holy Spirit as walking in that Spirit that has been given unto you, not allowing it to lay dormant, but allowing it to be activated and to administer in your life. Now, let's look further. Now, he cannot dwell in the believer, as we said, and things, and he cannot even, nor can he intimidate one who walk in the Spirit. Now, it is important to note, however, that the devil does have much different ability to those who submit to his rule. Our purpose is not to explore his involvement with the unbeliever. We want to see what the Bible say we can do if he comes around in this battle for holiness. Number one, we must keep our relationship with Jesus Christ fresh. Now, we never should become obsessed with the object of the devil. Whether we emphasize on or put our emphasis on loving, walking with God, and submitted to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to him and him alone. Now, we are to walk in the Spirit, and then the devil can cause us no harm because we are now walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I felt the quickening power of God just hit my spirit right there. James said, number four, chapter 4 and 7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James instructed us to resist the devil. Although his admonishing is certainly important, our victory over Satan begins with our submission to God. Now, let's stop right there because I want you to get it. And that's why I want to slow down. I want you to really to get it. The more you submit to God, just taking that moment and saying, God, I submit to you. I submit to your spirit, the Holy Spirit that's in me. I give the Holy Spirit permission to speak out of me, through me, in my life, and I'm walking in the spirit of the Lord our God. Just start right there. I submit to you, God. Wherever you go, God, I submit to you. I yield myself. I'm just not going to live anyway, kind of way. I'm just going to live a submitted life unto you. Okay, let's look further. Now, James also instructed us to resist the devil. Although his admonition is certainly important, our victory, again, must continually be when we become submitted to God. Now, let's look at the third enemy. The third enemy is the world, which we should be aware of. Now, the Apostle John cautioned us about the danger of the world in his first epistle, in 1 John 2 and 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2 and 15. Now, to love the world means that our affections are not on God. We live in the world, but we are not a part of the ungodly activity and ungodly thinking of the world. It doesn't mean that we can't live our life to the fullest, to enjoy even the things that God has here for us, but it also means for us to not engage in ungodly, not to engage in ungodly thinking, to keep our mind stayed on the Lord, amen, and he will keep us in perfect peace. Now, our carnality craves for the things of the world, but we must constantly keep our flesh under control of the spirit. Now, when we resist the devil, he flees. But the world and its pleasures are handled differently from the ways we handle the devil. Instead of the world fleeing when we resist it, we resist the world by fleeing from it. So here, number one, when we resist the devil, amen, the devil is going to flee. Amen. But on the opposite side, amen, we all have to flee from the things of the world and from the carnality of the world and things of carnality and things in carnal things. We must adhere to those things that are spiritual. Now, you can enjoy this life and still yet live a holy and a righteous life. But when you begin to move and dab into things that are evil and wicked and that is an offense against God and the kingdom of God and his holiness, those are things we need to shun away from and stop doing and not even engage. He said, put not your hand unto those unclean things. He said, come out from among thee and be ye separated, said the Lord our God. Amen. Now, the things of the world include idolatry, fornication, and youthful lust. Let us examine what the scripture says about these things, for the Bible is final authority in determining a course of action against worldliness. Fornication includes the list of sins in Romans chapter 1, Galatians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, and Colossians chapter 3. It is clear that it began practiced today, being practiced in an epic proportion in our world, and the omission by famous even entertainers and people in the world, acuity of sexual behavior, which causes them to be infected by various types of disease, reveals some worldwide widespread immorality in our world, and these are the things that are going on. While the Bible said, abstain from fornication, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. Some leaders in the world said that the world should not teach sexual abstinence. Abstinence, however, is the only biblical principle for unmarried people, and the church must teach this principle to our children long before they are faced with the temptation to practice so-called safe sex and other sexual sin. When faced with the immediate possibility of committing fornication, we are to obey the Bible and flee. 1 Corinthians 6:18. The story of Joseph in the Old Testament illustrates this truth. In Egypt, as a slave, Joseph worked faithfully in his master's house, and in spite of the overt advances of Potiphar's wife, he refused to commit adultery with her and sin against her husband and against God. One day, when Potiphar was gone and Joseph was alone with Potiphar's wife, she came to him and tried to subdue him and even took hold of his clothing to force him to commit adultery with her. When she reached out and laid hold onto his clothes, he did only the things he could do. He fled from her. The church was reproved from those practices of fornication and things related to idolatry. And you'll see that over in Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. Now, the answer to overcoming idolatry is the same as fornication. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14. Once again, we are told to flee a specific sin. When the subject of useful sin is raised in the scripture, the answer to our young people is to flee these lusts and pursue the things of God. Help us to stay and adhere to the instruction of the Lord. Flee also useful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2 and 22. Now, the danger of useful lust is great, for the flames of useful lust are being fanned by today's society that said lust and fornication cannot be controlled by the individual. But Paul told Timothy to flee useful lust and to follow the guidance of the fruit of the Spirit. The battle against worldliness, the devil, and the flesh is not doomed to defeat. We have enjoyed the battle and see it's more than a fight against something. It is a fight against holiness, is against the work and the will of God, which is holiness. And we must recognize that what the battle and call it for what it is fighting up against the holiness of our God and wants to bring down the sovereignty of our God to a common place. And we as the children of God, we must adhere to and fight a good fight of faith, amen, as well as for holiness and righteousness, even in this present world today. Oh, Shayanadabasha. Now let's look at the weapons that are present. We are protected from our outside enemy by some special weapons. We are protected from the devil and the world by the armor that God has provided us with. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11. The armor protects us from a defensive shield, and the word of God and prayer are our defensive and offense weapon, which we may overcome our enemies. And you'll find that over in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Too often we look at our weapon as weak, thinking that we face a problem that we cannot do anything about. A friend is sick, or a loved one is about to experience a broken home. What do we do? They ask. We may tell them there's nothing we can do except pray. While this may be true, it sounds like that we have accepted the fact that disaster will come regardless of what we do. We unintentionally make prayer sound as if it were a weak weapon. But praying in the Spirit produces miraculous results. And we as the children of God, we must hold on to that as never before. Praying in the Spirit produces miraculous results. And then again, we pray in the Spirit and pray and make for mysteries. Now, it should be the first thing that we do. Now, our weapons are not weak or inconsistent, and things they are described by Paul as being mighty through God. With these mighty weapons, we do not have to depend on our ability. We depend on the weapon given to us by God. And that's very, very critical for us to recognize this is what God's given to us as the children of God. Now, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God through the pulling down of the stronghold, 2 Corinthians 10 and 14. Now, let's look at the soldier presented. For an army to be successful, it must have excellent soldiers. The army of God has great captains everywhere. It also has the greatest troops in the world. The saints of God are the soldiers. Now, let's look further. Now, wage a good warfare. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou by thy them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put off concerning faith have made shipwreck. Now, we cannot put off holding our faith and a good conscience about what God is doing in and through the lives of the children of God. Let's look further. The walk of faith is to war a good warfare. Now, every time you strike out walking by faith, you warring a good warfare. Each time you pressing in to reading your Bible and getting to the house of God and doing the things that God said for us not to forsake ourselves, assembling together even more so as we see the day approaching and adhering to the things that God has given to us, the biblical principle, you are waging a warfare against the enemy of your very own soul. And so I encourage you as children of God is to hold fast and never give up. Now let's take a look. When the athletes perform on the field, they want to play a good game. It is important because winning or losing may depend on his performance. How much more does a soldier feel the need to do his best on the battlefield? It is not just a matter of winning or losing a game. It could be a matter of life and death. That must be the reason Paul likened the walk of faith to a battle. He realized that Timothy would face the enemy of the devil and the world, then he would need tenacity. The instruction included two specifics for a good warfare, 1 Timothy 1 and 19. The first weapon we have to defeat our enemies is faith. Faith gives us strength in the battle. It is the shield that protects us from the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, the second weapon is we need to secure victory is a good conscience. Now, having a good conscience does not mean that we will never do anything wrong or sin. It means that when we do something wrong or when we sin, that we make it right. We must also remember that we live by faith. And that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. So let's look again. The two weapons is here. Is number one, your faith. Number two is a good conscience. Constantly repenting, constantly asking God to forgive us if we've done anything wrong. That's a weapon. That's something repentant is a gift that God has given unto us as the children of God, and it's a weapon that the adversary won't use it as an accusation against the child of God. Catch that. Now, let's look. It said, endure hardness. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and 23. The life of a soldier has never been known as one of ease, as we know that. Paul wrote for us to endure hardness in our Christian battle against sin, self, world, and the devil. The Amplified Bible said, take your share of hardness and suffering, which are called to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, this battle may require us to separate from loved ones or even family members. At times, we may feel as Peter did, that we have given up everything and everyone to follow Jesus. I'm over in Mark chapter 10, verse 28 and 30. But Jesus promised that when we give up something or someone to live for him, he will repay us in this life 100-fold more than what we gave up, and in the world to come, eternal life. So he said he will repay us. Now, let's number three. Let's see. We must stay true to God. No man that warreth endureth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier, 2 Timothy 2:4. It's important that we please God in the way we live. Every sacrifice, every effort, every contribution we make should be aimed at pleasing the captain of our salvation. We should not measure our obedience by what we have or to do, but we should gauge our commitment by what will please Jesus. Now, that's very critical, is keep pleasing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Stay true to him. Instead of deciding what we follow, will we follow holiness to please the pastor or another child of God, we need to follow holiness because it's a lifestyle that pleases God. That's critical. And when we become consciously aware of that, of God's holiness and our holiness lifestyle, it pleases God himself. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14. If you hear the world talks a lot about peace and goodwill to all men, but the Bible said follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let's make peace with our sisters and brothers. Let's make peace, amen, and follow on in holiness and righteousness as the will of the Lord will want for us as the children of God. Who do you need to make peace with? Make peace with yourself, and then begin to make peace with people in your family and then those that are in your community. Be a person of peace. And think that's what God wants us to stay true to him and to be bearers of his peace and bearers of his holiness and his righteousness. Make peace with your father. Make peace with your mother. Make peace with your siblings. And things, no matter what they've done to you, what they didn't do, just ask God, Lord, give me a forgiving heart that I can forgive them and release them and think nothing but peace for them, towards them, and your holiness and your righteousness. And watch God start turning things around right in your whole life, right there, and things. And you'll see God just begin to mend relationship and begin to mend homes because you've chosen to live peaceably among men. Amen. The reason for we follow the standards of holiness is that we are in God's army. We want our clothes to conform to the orders of our commander. We want even our lifestyle to see and be a submitted person, a submitted child unto the authority of the Holy Spirit, to the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is the ultimate authority, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do not want to become entangled with the things of the world, that we would not be wiser for a good soldier. We want to please him who have called us to be his disciple. Now let's look at the victory that is promised. It says over in Romans chapter 8, chapter 7 verses 18, and then chapter 8 and verse 2, I'm going to read that in your hearing. It reads on this line. It says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But I know to perform that which is good I find not. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, Romans 7 does not represent our child of God's walk with God, but relates with how Jesus saved us from our past enslavement to our carnal nature. It stresses that the battle in our fleshly and carnal nature, since the flesh have not yet been transformed, our regenerative nature have a continual struggle with our carnality. But we can live without sinning, for we are no longer enslaved to sin. Galatians 5, verses 16 to 28, Romans chapter 6. Yet we are not immune to sin, for as long as we live in this world, we will be tempted to sin, and sometimes we may sin. However, when we sin, we can return to God by repentance, but we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. 1 John 2 and 1 describe that the normal life of a believer, for we who walk in the Spirit are not under sin or its condemnation. For we struggle with our flesh, but the Spirit in us, it helps us to mortify it and its deeds and inspire us to see the ultimate victory, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, let's take a look further and see these practical areas that the battle for holiness is a reality. Now, we must recognize they identify where we live by monitoring our attitude. We must recognize our attitude, our practices, our fellowship. We can gauge our progress by checking in, how's my attitude? We must put away all evil attitudes, and we must take on to the fruit of the Spirit. Our thoughts, amen, as well. We are what we think, and we become what we allow in our mind to dwell on. So the evil thoughts that come to defile us, we must take those captive and give it to Jesus Christ. So when that thought comes to your mind and things, and you know it's of evil or not a good thought, all you do is just take that thought and say, Lord, I give you that thought. And you will see that thought become almost immediately will just dissipate. It will just disappear out of your mind because you've given it to Jesus Christ. So when thoughts come in your mind, immediately let it go into captivity, captive every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. The other area, the use of our tongue. We must guard our eyes as a gate to our soul and the primary sort of the input into the mind, because out of the heart proceeded life and death. And so we must recognize that out of it is going to come life and death. And so even in our eye gate, using our eye gate, we must give our eye gate over unto the Lord, as well as the use of our tongue, because out of our tongue is the power of life and death. You can read James chapter 1, verse 26, James 3, 1 and 1 to 12, James 4 and 11, James 5 and 12. James talk a lot about the tongue. So look at that, and you'll see a whole lot more information about the use of the tongue and then the use of the eye. Psalms 101 and 3, 119, 37, Matthew 6, 22 through 23, it talks about the eye. Also, you must recognize, too, we must have good stewardship of our bodies, amen, as well. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17, 6, also 12, and 19 through 20. Again, that was in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 12, verses 19 through 20. So being a good steward over our bodies, respect for human life, honesty, and fellowship, and these are just a few things that we can begin to discipline ourselves in those areas. While the new birth message is essential to salvation and discipleship, is only possible by going on unto perfection through the holy living. We are not powerless or without weapon. We have power, Acts chapter 1 and 8, and the mighty weapon, 2 Corinthians 10, 4. We can walk victoriously in victory if we will be the people of prayer, praise, and the word of God. And the whole armor of God is essential to victorious living in Christ. Skillful use of the word of God proved to be too much for Satan to handle when he's tempted Jesus. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. if we will use the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit and pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, we will be victorious. And that's very, very critical. Use that word. Speak that word. Get that word of God down in you and begin to speak that word, and you're going to see some victorious places and areas in your life that you never experienced before. Now, let me conclude on this wonderful lesson. I tell you, this has been good. We face a battle as a child of God, and it is not always easy. And it is the way of the cross. Our world is filled with the enemies that lurk in its shadows with a desire to destroy us. We can engage in spiritual warfare. We are to fight for our spiritual life. Our greatest battleground is our flesh. Our carnal nature is a Trojan horse of spirituality. And if we are not aware of it, we can be destroyed from within. This is why we must keep our carnal nature under the control of the Spirit. Paul wrote that he died daily to his flesh. We also must mortify the deeds of the body, Romans 8 and 13, Colossians 3 and 5. Someone said that the flesh is much harder to identify as the enemy because it looks like, acts like, and resembles us. The devil is certainly out to destroy mankind. His tactics are deceitful and powerless. However, a believer who walks in the Spirit has no fear of him. We know that the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in us is greater than the devil in this world. And the way we overcome the devil is to resist him. Then he will flee. Now, the world, however, will not flee. It is everywhere we go. We resist worldliness, but it doesn't flee. We are tempted by worldliness, including sexual immorality, idolatry. We are the ones to flee from those things. Now, and you'll see that in 1 Corinthians again, 10 and 14, 1 Corinthians 6 and 18. Moreover, youth have a special warning about lust, and they are instructed to flee from them. 2 Timothy 2 and 22. Now, the mighty weapon God has given to us will help us overcome the enemy and be victorious. We have an important part as soldiers in the battle against evil. The Lord is our captain. We are his soldier, and together we will resist the devil and subdue our carnality and separate ourselves from the evil in this world. We must wage a good warfare. Paul wrote that we have fought a good fight, and therefore expect a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8. This crown awaits all who are God's good soldier in the fight for righteousness. A soldier who expects a life of ease is in for a rude awakening. We will endure hardness and take hard knocks as well. It will be worth the hardship and the suffering when the battle is over. We must not become so involved in the things of the world that the world becomes too important to us. We must live to please the one who will call us into service. We must stay true to Jesus as loyal soldiers and children of God. We must not be defeated, and we shall not be defeated. While we may be worn and wearied and scarred and sometimes maybe even bleeding, when we see Jesus, he will welcome us into heaven and personally wipe away every tears from our eyes. You'll find that over in Revelation 7 and verse number 17. I leave with you on this glorious and wonderful day. Again, the two weapons, that's your faith as well as also the other piece of that is also your good conscience. Use your faith. Walk by faith. Keep your good conscience that we can stay true to God, amen, by our lifestyle, pleasing him, keeping a good conscience. When you do wrong, repent of it, ask forgiveness, ask God. He's just and faithful to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. He knows that there's things in us. That's why he said the word will wash us. As we read that word and walk in that word, it will wash and cleanse us. And so stay in the word. Continue on in the things of the Lord and watch God bless us. Follow peace, amen, and holiness unto the Lord, amen. It's a very powerful and a powerful thing that God has given to us. follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12 and verse number 14. Gracious Father, we thank you for this wonderful lesson. We ask that you bless us and grace us and strengthen us and endow us, amen, to adhere to and withhold and uphold the things that are holy and righteous. And God, we thank you and we give you glory, honor, praise, and dominion. Now, Father, we ask, oh God, that you bless every one of the hearer and listening as they understand the battle of the flesh, the battle of the world, and the battle of the devil. And understand the weaponries that you've given unto them, to walk by faith, to continue on in prayer, reading their word, in fellowship, amen, breaking bread one with another,